Music from something called the Nile Project, a CD called Aswan, and the tune Salam Nubia, performed well by the group, and we'll get some clarification on that in a little bit. But the leader here was the vocalist Al Sara from Sudan, and as you might expect from something called the Nile Project, people involved from various countries along the Nile River. And this is one of the many offerings that have been announced just last week by the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts at the University of Illinois in Urbana-Champaign. And the Nile Project will be among the many performances that you can take part in if you want to sign up either for season tickets, there's many ways to do that, I guess. But we have here to tell you about the season, at least an overview, as much as we can get in a short program today. Mike Ross, who's the director of the Krannert Center, and also Bridget Lee Kalfas, who's the advertising and publicity director, and always my principal contact for finding out about people that we can have on Live and Local. So thanks, Mike and Bridget, for coming on the show today.
Thanks for the invitation, Kevin. It's great to be back.
Yeah, it's been, I guess, a year, probably, since whenever the last announcement has been made. So, as always, an incredible mix of performers, genres. I mean, even beyond genre, if we call genres types of music, you have so many theater things. And inevitably, the Krannert Center has some multimedia projects, and there's some things I'll ask you about that I don't recognize by name. But there are certainly plenty of performers people will easily recognize by name, some of whom were even just here this season. The Chicago Symphony, of course, and the Kronos Quartet coming back. And who else did I recognize from just this year? Apollo's Fire Baroque Orchestra, I think, is here this year.
Right.
But then there's some names that haven't been for a while, like the Kodo drummers from Japan, violinist Gil Shaham, and then some that at least I don't remember seeing here, but I could have just happened to have missed them. For example, soprano Renee Fleming.
Yes, Renee was with us a while back, but we are exceedingly excited about her return to Krannert Center in this coming season. Renee's one of those artists that certainly, if you're an enthusiast of opera or vocal music or even classical music more broadly, it would be difficult not to be aware of her extraordinary accomplishments over time. But for those who aren't so familiar with classical music, once she performed at the Super Bowl singing the national anthem, she certainly got onto the popular consciousness of our country. But it's going to be really fun with Renee, because she's returning to perform on Valentine's Day this year, which also happens to be her birthday. And many people know that she and Nathan Gunn have become friends over the years. So it really should be a very celebratory return of this phenomenal vocalist.
Do you know yet what kind of program she's going to be doing? Will it be an operatic or a mixed?
She hasn't announced that to us yet.
Okay. When you have an artist like that, are you able to suggest or sway, or do they give you an option? You know, we could do this program, that one, or another one.
It varies a lot from artist to artist, that's for sure. And it also varies quite a bit on the kind of performance or the genre, the subgenre of music we're talking about. Orchestral programs, because of the nature of orchestra planning purposes, the repertoire that an orchestra might take on tour on any given tour has got to be sorted out quite a bit ahead of time, 2 or 3 years usually ahead of time. But in that case, orchestras, as you probably know, Kevin, do carry 2 or 3 different program offerings, typically. So we have lots of conversations about, in some cases, mixing and matching repertoire from one of those suggested programs that they will be carrying with another. In the case of individual artists, and often in the case of chamber music, but it, certainly if it's a recital program, a vocal or keyboard or otherwise, there often is the opportunity to engage in a brainstorming process with the artists. We, of course, are sensitive to how frequently a particular piece of music may have been heard over the last handful of years at Krannert Center, if we're talking about classical music still. So we try to avoid unnecessary duplication of repertoire, but sometimes we see reason to have a piece performed fairly close temporal proximity to when it was last performed. It just kind of depends on the context.
But if you had three well-known pianists coming in a season, let's say, and they all offered you a Chopin program as an option, you probably wouldn't choose that.
That's actually one of the most interesting kinds of questions.
Oh, yeah?
Uh-huh, because there have been times when I've really relished in the idea of having our audiences having the opportunity to compare one rendering of a particular piece of the repertoire versus another. But yeah, I think generally speaking, we do try to avoid the same repertoire being performed in the same season by different artists.
Well, let's give a listen to something of Renee Fleming since we've talked about her, and I'm holding a CD in my hand. This is from her CD called The Beautiful Voice with English Chamber Orchestra led by Jeffrey Tate. And it's by Antonin Dvorak from his collection called Gypsy Melodies, the best known Songs My Mother Taught Me. Soprano Renee Fleming with the English Chamber Orchestra, conducted by Jeffrey Tate. Songs My Mother Taught Me, from Gypsy Melodies by Antonin Dvorak, an arrangement by Sir Charles McCarris. Here on Live and Local on FM 90.9, Renee Fleming will appear at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts next season on Valentine's Day in 2015. And as Mike Ross said just a bit ago, that happens to be Renee Fleming's birthday. My guests today are Mike Ross, director of the Krannert Center, and also Bridget Lee Kalfas, who's the advertising and publicity director at Krannert. And our program today is supported in part by the Sousa Archives and Center for American Music, breathing life into the history of our nation's musical past through exhibits, guided tours, and performances at the University of Illinois. More information is available, and visits can be scheduled at 217-333-4577.
One of the things I so admire about Renee Fleming is her venturing into different kinds of music and making it her own, no matter which segment of the vast diversity of repertoire that's out there, music that's out there for the voice. She gives herself fully into the investigation of new repertoire, and especially if it's in a style that's outside the style of vocal artistry that she's been associated with throughout the vast majority of her career. I just think it's really beautiful what she demonstrates as a senior, mature artist, continuing to explore and expand her own horizons.
And she's more credible in some of those other genres than the average opera singer who gives it a go.
That's for sure.
Well, since we are at the moment talking a bit classically, who are some of the other folks that people would either know about and would want to flock to their concerts, or perhaps not know so much about?
Well, one of the ensembles that you've already mentioned that we're bringing back this year is Apollo's Fire, who made their Kranich Center debut last season, or this current season, and this season that has just passed. And it was so gratifying to watch our audience respond to their Brandenburg Concerti program. There's a beautiful element of surprise. Their style is very engaging, their performance style as well as the actual the sound that they create. They create an enormous range of delicacy in their music making, but they can also get that Baroque fire going, that fire in the belly going when a Baroque composer such as Bach or Vivaldi pulls out all the stops, so to speak. They are touring the Monteverdi Vespers of 1610 this coming year. It was too important an opportunity in my mind to pass on simply because they had just been with us this season. This is one of those rare opportunities, and it felt like a very natural choice to me to say, yes, let's bring you back next season with this incredibly unusual, uncommon opportunity to hear a live performance of the Monteverdi Vespers with professional instrumental and vocal forces. As you know, Kevin, that is that's a monumental piece in the history of classical music, and standing right on the cusp of the old and new styles that were merging and developing and evolving at that time. It's a piece of music that I think a lot of students, when they are studying classical music history seriously, it's one of those pieces that is not possible to leave out of the syllabus. And I don't mean to, I don't say that because I think of it as an important piece of an educational process for young people serious about music, or anyone serious about music, to study, but it's there for a reason. And to bring that historical sort of position or fact or context to life in the concert hall by such an extraordinarily talented ensemble, I think it was too important an opportunity to pass on, and I can't wait to hear that work in the Great Hall. The acoustics of the Great Hall are so extraordinary, and that work was traditionally, obviously, performed in cathedrals, in sacred spaces, known many times for, or often, or most frequently, for a very rich acoustical property. But as many of your listeners know, the acoustics of the Great Hall are very special and generous, and I think the experience should be quite extraordinary and hopefully unforgettable.
Thank you.
That's the opening music from The Vespers of the Blessed Virgin of 1610 by Claudio Monteverdi, a performance by Boston Baroque, directed by Martin Perlman. It will be performed in its entirety by the Apollo's Fire Baroque Orchestra this coming November, November 4th, at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts. They have just announced, the Krannert Center has, their 2014-2015 season. And talking with director Mike Ross about that on today's Live and Local. I'm looking at a group that I think is the classical vocal group I know about, Cantus. And
yes.
Then, but I don't know, Theater Latida.
Cantus, as you rightly recall, is a male a cappella ensemble, extraordinarily gifted, based in Minneapolis, as is Theater Latida, which is a musical theater company based in Minneapolis, a very innovative ensemble. They have come together to collaborate on a performance that is inspired by the Christmas Truce of 1914, the first year of World War I. And as you may know, 1914 is the year 2014 will be the 100th anniversary of the beginning of the war. And there are multiple commemorations being planned around the country and certainly on our campus, and I'm sure also in the community, to mark that event locally here. This project will be performed roughly in the mode of a radio play. And it is, as I said, inspired by the Christmas Truce of 1914, which was an extraordinary event when the Allied forces and the German forces on the Western Front laid down their arms and actually exchanged gifts, played soccer, buried their dead, and sang songs and had a moment of camaraderie that is hard to imagine in our current day taking place in any of the conflicts around the world that are going on, whether or not it's engaging the United States. But the musical component will include patriotic songs, holiday carols, and other music. The text component is being drawn from letters that were written by people at that time, both in the conflict, in the war, and around the war, and also war documents. It'll be an informative evening, but I think it's also going to be a very emotionally charged and beautiful evening.
And here's the ensemble Cantus from what I think is their most recent CD. It may not be quite, On the Shoulders of Giants. And this is a setting of what is called the Finlandia Hymn by Jean Sibelius.
Thank you.
the all-male vocal ensemble Cantus. Music by Jean Sibelius, known as the Finlandia Hymn, the translation of part of it anyway. O Finland, look, the day at last is dawning. Your night of danger now is driven away. The morning skylark in the sunlight soaring sings heavenly songs to welcome the new day. As nighttime powers banished by the morning, a new day dawns within our native land. And there's another verse as well. Cantus performing at the Krannert Center in Urbana, a program that, as Mike Ross said, will have some extra special attachments to it, having to do with the Christmas truce from World War I. It's going to be performed at on December the 2nd at the Krannert Center in Urbana. And many other classical events happening at Krannert, of course, in the coming season, including the Chamber Music Society of Lincoln Center, the St. Louis Symphony Orchestra, and violinist Gil Shaham next April 2015, in something called the Bach Project.
Yes, a word about this performance. As you and many of your listeners know, Gil Shaham was raised here in Urbana, Champaign, and has become one of the classical music world's most beloved and gifted and widely respected violinists. This performance, the Bach Project, will feature Gil performing the Bach unaccompanied sonatas and partitas. Just absolutely joyous and incredibly complex and beautiful and virtuosic music in the violin repertoire. And his performance will be accompanied by extraordinary visual images created by the photographer and filmmaker David Michalek, who has become known for his massive outdoor installations of projected images at Lincoln Center and many of the other cultural institutions around the world. What is very interesting and makes his visual, large-scale visual work very different from most other artists in his realm is not only his extraordinary feel for capturing visually the intricacies of human movement, and also images from nature, but he has developed a very effective technique for filming his subjects at extremely high speeds, which enables him, and very high resolution, which enables him to then slow the motion down for an audience, for a viewer, without losing the high quality of resolution. I wish I could go into the details of the technique, but suffice it to say, it is as if you are looking at an image under a microscope. It's the definition is so extraordinary, and yet these are very large scale projections. So imagine yourself in the Great Hall with Gil performing unaccompanied on the stage, but accompanied by these large-scale images behind him. It should be beautiful.
Gil Shaham will be at the Krannert Center on, you have to wait for this one. This is on April the 23rd of 2015 already we're getting into. And by the way, when do the brochures come out? Are they out?
They're not out. They're going to be mailed on July the 24th. And it's not too late to get onto our mailing list for that. On that day, you can also see all the performance pages on KrannertCenter.com and download a PDF of the season brochure at that time. And then tickets go on sale on August 16th at 10 a.m.
So speaking of waiting, You can just salivate from our conversation here, or if you happen to have seen the, I think there was an article in the News Gazette last week, perhaps.
That's right. And smilepolitely.com also has the information. And, of course, you can download the press release at kranitzcenter.com right now.
We played at the outset of this conversation something that I found pretty intriguing, the Nile Project, which is one of a number of items we can call loosely world music or even world other sorts of things. That's going to be coming to the Krannert Center next March, Music of the Nile. Talk about that a little bit.
This is a project that was inspired by Yo-Yo Ma's Silk Road project, which was or is an ongoing exploration of musics that were associated with cultures along the Silk Road. And Yo-Yo being first and foremost an extraordinary classical musician, the Silk Road project was an opportunity for him to expand his interests or explore his interests in other musical forms from around the world, with an emphasis on Asian culture. The Nile Project is a project that was, as I said, inspired by that model of the Silk Road project, but also by concerns about the challenges to addressing the environmental issues along the Nile, which are massive and which are the addressing of which is massively complicated by politics and cultural difference and histories and legacies. And so the creators of this project thought that if a music project could be built around the idea of bringing musicians from the many different countries and cultures along the Nile together to send messages out to encourage a collaborative approach to recognizing the issues that exist and developing solutions, collective solutions for addressing those large-scale challenges, that perhaps something could actually be done to get what has been a sort of a stalled effort vis-a-vis collaboration, get it out of that stuck place and get people in a grassroots kind of movement calling for a collective effort to address those issues. So the musicians that have been assembled feature vocalists and instrumentalists from across that region. And so this is sort of a world music fusion project, even more eclectic in its assemblage than one might usually associate with a world music concert or performance. And it has caught on like wildfire. And one of the beautiful things about the project is as the project moves from place to place, the performers and organizers of the Nile Project are giving workshops in the local community wherever it is that they're playing to help that community or those communities look at problems that they are trying to address locally and build collective coalitions around addressing those problems, whatever the problems may be, whether they're environmental, social, or otherwise.
So the Nile Project, Music of the Nile, on March 6th of next year at the Krannert Center. My guest, Mike Ross, who's director at Krannert, and Bridget Lee Kalfas, who's the advertising and publicity person there. And some of the other world music offerings include Ragamala Dance with Rudresh Mahanthappa. That'll be in January. And I'm looking at, for example, the National Acrobats, People's Republic of China. That's a return engagement.
It is a return with their new project, Cirque Peking.
Which should be good. So that'll be in October, so sooner than later. And Tango Buenos Aires, that's a return also, isn't it?
Yes, it's been a number of years since the Tango Project has been with us. And that is an art form, of course, that people who know it is an art form that's full of passion and extraordinary dance and music elements. This is a very, very, very polished ensemble, but that also just lights the stage on fire every time they perform.
Tango Buenos Aires in February the 5th at Krannert. And then there's always some jazz offerings and a return by Jazz at Lincoln Center Orchestra with Wynton Marsalis, but also a presentation by a guy that I don't happen to know about named Ryan Truesdell, the Gil Evans Project, another project that's happening at the Krannert Center this year, next January.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it, that the word project pops up increasingly frequently these days around performances and productions, and I think that that's it's a label or a term that allows for perhaps a slightly broader view of presenting a performance or a performance and enhancement activities or elements around the performance. So in the case of the Bach project with Gil Shaham, normally you would think of a Bach project as just simply being some combination of works by Bach being performed by some combination of performers. But in that case, it's the incorporation of this extraordinary visual artist into the mix. So in the Gil Evans project, certainly any enthusiast of jazz will recognize the name Gil Evans as an icon in the art form, and perhaps most frequently associated with the work that he did with Miles Davis, the Miles Ahead or the Porgy and Bess recordings being perhaps most familiar among. But the Gil Evans project is the result of a passionate enthusiasm on the part of Ryan Truesdell, a very gifted composer arranger, to ensure that more of the body of work that Gil Evans created will be preserved and enjoyed by audiences around the world. The recording, the first recording that Ryan compiled of Gil's work that was a lesser known work is a recording called Centennial, and it has received virtually AAA critical responses from all of the major jazz media and publications in the world. This recording just flew off the charts with the critics, and it's because, and this is big band music. This is the performance that our audiences will experience will be big band arrangements of Gil Evans music that Ryan has assembled. This is powerful music making, incredibly beautifully nuanced music making, impeccable playing on the part of the performers themselves. I think any jazz enthusiast who knows Gil Evans is going to be in for a huge treat when this project comes to Krannert Center. Thank you.
That was Gil Evans's arrangement of a song by Leo Delibes called The Maids of Cadiz, and from a CD, which is called Ryan Truesdell Presents Centennial, newly discovered works of Gil Evans, and featuring with the band as soloists as alto sax, Dave Pietro, on piano, Frank Kimbrough, and on trumpet, Greg Gisbert, and I'm not at all sure I'm saying his name right. So my apologies in that case. You're listening to Live and Local on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly. Our broadcast is made possible in part by a grant from the Meredith Foundation dedicated to supporting the musical arts in performance and presentation. And Gil Evans' music will be at the Krannert Center next season. And that'll be in on January the 24th of 2015. Ryan Truesdell presenting the Gil Evans Project, and it seems kind of silly in the space of an hour to try to encompass everything that's happening at the Krannert Center next year. We can't do it. We haven't done it. We'll just tell you that there is an opening night party, as always, which will be on September the 12th with Mariachi Sol de Mexico.
De Mexico.
The first time you've had a mariachi band, this, you think, probably.
It is.
It is, for sure.
I'm pretty sure that in the history of Krannert Center, this is the first performance presented of mariachi music. Obviously, one of the great popular art forms of the globe. And we are hoping that alongside the fabulous Latin music coming from coming out of the Caribbean and Cuba, the Miami-based ensemble Tiempo Libre coming back with their red hot brand of music making, we think this is going to be a beautiful celebration of Latin music, open, wide open party style opening night party style at Krannert Center. Lots of activities for kids, lots of great food and beverages, and just a lot of great energy. It's really a celebration of the entire community.
And you can get the full details. Most of the details. You can look at the press release anyway. There's intriguing.
You can see the performance listings, and then further details will be available when all the performance pages go live on July 24th. But right now, you can at least get the listing. Make sure you're on our mailing list to get your copy of the season book, and then make plans to be with us on August 16th when tickets go on sale.
And that's KrannertCenter.com.
That's right.
Is where you can find all that info. And always check back with Live and Local. We'll be presenting things as we can, you know, as often as possible.
Thank you so much, Kevin, for doing such a beautiful job with this program. It is such a great asset, such a great piece of information, a source of information for people in the listening area. I love the way you mix the showcasing of local artists, university or other campus-based artistry, and visiting artists from all over the map. It's a great program, and so long live Live and Local.
Absolutely.
We appreciate it. Thanks very much to Bridget Lee Kalfas and Mike Ross at the Krannert Center for coming in today and giving us the tiniest possible sketch of some of what's going on next season, 2014-2015. Thanks very much.
Great pleasure.
Thank you.
That was a tune called El Cuatro from Mariachi Sol de Mexico, who will be participating in the opening night party at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts in September on the 12th, along with Tiempo Libre, both of those visiting artists, and then Samba Soul, who are a local group, and others will be participating in that as well. And this from the CD called Mariachi Pride and Passion, here on Live and Local. Thanks very much for joining us for the program today. Hope you found something worth seeing and hearing. I can't imagine that that wouldn't happen. And as we indicated, there's so many other things that the Krannert Center is offering next season, as always. You're listening to Live and Local on 90.9 WYLL FM and HD Urbana with translator W293 AF Danville, NPR, classical music, and more for Central Illinois. WYLL is a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois. And among the other performers in a genre that we haven't really even touched on, in fact, it's difficult to say in the case of Cassandra Wilson, she's going to be doing a program called Coming Forth by Day, a celebration of Billie Holiday. So that obviously jazz next March the 12th in 2015. This music comes from her CD called Belly of the Sun, and it's called Darkness on the Delta.
When it's darkness on the delta, that's the time my heart is light. When it's darkness on the delta, let me linger in the shelter of the night. Fields of cotton all around me, voices ringing soft and low. Lord, I'm lucky that you found me where the muddy Mississippi waters flow. Lounging on the levee, listening to the nightingales way up above. Laughter on the levee, no one's heart is heavy. All God's children got someone to love. When it's darkness on the delta, only heaven is in sight. When it's darkness on the delta, let me linger in the shelter of the night. Above. There's laughter.